Wow, how things can change from one week to the next. Hey, hope everybody out there is staying healthy. I know everything is super crazy. We feel disoriented by the COVID-19 virus. It's more important than ever to stay connected and check in with your loved ones. That's why I'm so happy I've got T-Mobile. Listen, T-Mobile isn't just talking the talk. They're taking measures right now to make life easier for everyone by doing the right thing for their customers during this really critical time. For example, T-Mobile has ensured all current customers with data plans have access to unlimited smartphone data on their network for 2 months. We're all in this together. T-Mobile truly believes that. And while many T-Mobile stores are temporarily closed to help keep customers and employees healthy, they've still got you covered with any help you need. Just check out T-Mobile.com. You can see what stores are still open and how you can manage your account online. Stay safe out there. During congestion, customers using more than 50 gigs a month may notice reduced speeds prioritization, video typically at 480p, capable device required. Wow, how things can change from one week to the next. Hey, hope everybody out there is staying healthy. I know everything is super crazy. We feel disoriented by the COVID-19 virus. It's more important than ever to stay connected and check in with your loved ones. That's why I'm so happy I've got T-Mobile. Listen, T-Mobile isn't just talking the talk. They're taking measures right now to make life easier for everyone by doing the right thing for their customers during this really critical time. For example, T-Mobile has ensured all current customers with data plans have access to unlimited smartphone data on their network for 2 months. We're all in this together. T-Mobile truly believes that. And while many T-Mobile stores are temporarily closed to help keep customers and employees healthy, they've still got you covered with any help you need. Just check out T-Mobile.com. You can see what stores are still open and how you can manage your account online. Stay safe out there. During congestion, customers using more than 50 gigs a month may notice reduced speeds prioritization, video typically at 480p, capable device required.
Hi, friends. This is Carlos Oñoro in Colombia. I had to do this first in English. Please, excuse my English, by the way. This is something I consider vital for the future of metal around the world, and of course, every other genre in music, art, and film who is not part of the so-called mainstream. My hope is that all musicians out there that I have met and are around my network, managers, booking agents, record label executives, to listen to what I have to say. This is about streaming services, Spotify, Deezer, Amazon Music, Apple Music, and its incidence in this business of music. It's been at least 5 years since I've been chewing an idea. My first scratch with it was when I read Portishead's Geoff Barrow tweeting something like, "Thank you Universal, or was it EMI Music, for selling my music so cheap," he said. He wrote. He added the amount of £1,300 on over a million plays, I think it was. Then I heard Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden saying they were being paid peanuts. And this man is a global artist, a global act. Then I went to Spotify's website to look for some light on where is the money going to. And there I found something. I tried to explain it to managers, to aggregators, to musicians, record labels, DJs. I even asked directly about it in front of the whole Colombian community of music entrepreneurs at a conference where aggregators and streaming were the main topic. I always try to ask everybody involved I stumble upon in my day-to-day business, but nobody would even touch the topic. The closest thing to a conversation I got was, "It is rigged, and there's nothing you or anybody can do about it." To be fair with this business, musicians get their biggest income performing live. That is something that has even been like that forever. And being signed or having your music released was the doorway. But in this case, that's not enough at all to end the conversation just right there. What I found being interpreted had two main conclusions. The first one, mainstream tracks were receiving money from users who don't listen to those particular tracks. And the second conclusion is that catalog artists, alternative, classic, and every artist not in the current mainstream were going to receive less and less money with time. New and independent artists and record labels would tend to disappear as income sources would shrink. The analysis of the situation, together with considering these two conclusions, directs to one single postulate. The way streaming royalties are being distributed is not fair at all, and it hurts the very basis of commerce and fair trade. I will explain it simply. The money people pay for streaming subscriptions doesn't go to the artists and tracks they hear. I'm determined to explain it, and I think for the love of music, this is worth to hear. If you are not part of the business, but you have a friend, musician, manager, indie record label executive, songwriter, or anybody trying to live out of music through first releasing it, the spreading of this information and the generation of a serious conversation will change things. At first, we will have a clearer idea of what is happening, then pointing some of the pressure for auto-control over the evolved characters, and yes, there's nothing against it, as changing the way royalties monies are currently distributed will not affect the pockets of big record labels and aggregators at all. Yes, you heard it right. If things change for the better, none of the usual suspects receiving most of the money would lose a penny by distributing the royalties the right way. When Albert Einstein explained relativity, he began with a special case. Let's do that with this and assume that sales of material goods are not comparable to streaming revenue anymore. In the near future, that tendency will be truer. Let's for now take music collectors apart this time. Doing so, I want to say streaming is the most important part of the business when music lovers listen to music willing to pay something different than concert tickets. Let's also bypass free subscriptions accounts for now. We will treat them later. So then, first off, let me just say, music media streaming distribution technology is the best thing that has happened to music, period. At the same time, let me just say, the way chosen to calculate and distribute royalties income from streaming is the worst thing that has and will happen to music ever. The first link in the description of this set some, let's say, true numbers on the topic. There it is said that last April 2019, Spotify finally had accumulated 100 million paid premium subscribers, 50 million for Apple Music, and other sources give Amazon Music 60 million and a surprising 7 million for the French Deezer. It is hard for me to believe that from the 800 million French speakers in France and around the world, where also Millicom, a cell phone operator active in this region and through all South America, also Deezer's strong shareholder, only have 7 million payers. But let's assume this information is true. So at last, roughly, we can say that at least 220 million people pay music streaming subscriptions in the West world. Assuming they all pass the 3-month special price of introduction and having in mind there are several pricing plans, we can say at an average they pay $8 per month per head. So streaming is a business of around $21 billion. This is more or less a market in which people would buy around 1 billion full-priced CDs a year, but without buying them really. Without them being manufactured, really. With no inventory whatsoever, really. No nothing. Just immortal digital files in a hard drive to be copied and sent with safety forever or until you stop paying your subscription or just die. From the gross revenue, the technology service in charge of the distribution, meaning Spotify, Deezer, Amazon, Apple, etc., they take a clean third cut, around 33%. This leaves us with $15 billion in rights to be distributed within record labels and everybody having rights within the music that has been streamed. $15 billion. Still, we hear everywhere artists and record labels, independent alternatives, receiving joke paychecks from thousands, even millions of streams. Everywhere I hear, it is rigged. There's nothing you can do. I even hear, this is the new business model, without really paying attention to what is happening. Hey, before any further talking, I have to say that since God created the universe, or at least this version of it, record labels took most of the income for them. And everybody is fine with it since, as they are the ones putting the money in most of the cases and also being in the driver's seat of the music business. Nobody wants to burn any churches to see changes, by the way. This is about reviewing recent changes that will kill, for sure, not only music, but talent and that particular intimate relationship between the mind and the song. Today, everybody involved in this business knows if things keep on like this, most artists, labels, even complete genres, will be impossible to maintain. Apparently, everybody understands only the surface of the explanation. We are told the equation with which streaming royalties are calculated is straightforward and pristine clear. You put all the money coming in per country per month in a bag, and then you put the number of songs streamed per country per month in another bag. Then you divide the money received against the number of streams in that specific country. To know how much money from rights goes to one song, we just need to know how many times it was played in that particular month. Then you take the mentioned division and multiply it by the number of plays of that particular song. This is what Spotify says when it's inquired about how much money they pay per stream. Spotify pays whoever holds the rights to a song anywhere from $0.006 to $0.0084 per play. This means to make $1 you have to get between 120 and 166 plays. The rights holder can then split these earnings between the record label, producers, artists, and songwriters, which means splitting pennies between many parties. A second link with this information can be found in the description. And yes, the equation is very clear, super straightforward, and transparent. But rigorous analysis of the implications of this equation will draw deadly poisonous conclusions. To explain it, I need to give you several examples. For the first example, let's go to a dangerous country. It is the 1st of January, you go out walking listening to the first stream song in your account this month, but then somebody on your back steals your cell phone and you don't have a computer. You only buy a new phone on February and you end up with only one song streamed in January. Let's say, to make things easy, that you pay $10 a month for your subscription. Streamer takes you third, that we will simplify in $3, 30%. Then there we have $7 to pay in rights to representatives of those rights. Okay, let's say the song you heard before your phone being stolen was God Was Never On Your Side from Motorhead. The remaining $7 goes straight to Motorhead's label or representative of rights in that particular song. No, it doesn't work that way. No matter if you pay $10 and you heard that one song, the $7 remaining are not paid to that song. Those $7 are distributed the way we just explained. Depending on the country you live in, you find the amount to pay Motorhead's representatives dividing the money coming in over the number of plays, you know, the equation I showed you previously, and that is the amount of money that one song you listen will get if you only heard it once that month. As we established previously, the song will get between 0.006 and 0.086 per play. If, for example, it was heard 5 times, then the money to be paid would be 5 times the total of the division. So 5 plays in the month will be around 3 cents. So, no matter if you listen to only one song on your $10, only a microscopic amount of what you paid goes to that particular song. Imagine now that you listen God Was Never On Your Side 9 times and you heard Despacito only once. In case you don't know, Despacito is one of the most popular songs ever, if not the most. It doesn't matter that you heard Despacito only once. Assuming that only you heard that Motorhead song 9 times in that month, Despacito and the group of songs concentrating most of the current streams per month in your country, they will get the most of those $7, leaving Motorhead getting way less than 10 cents, no matter if it was most of what you consumed. Let me tell you, if you heard that one Motorhead song 100 times and Despacito only once, your most played song would get around 60 cents. Despacito and friends will take the remaining 90% of what you paid. Hey, remember this, that would also happen if you don't listen to Despacito or Harry Styles or whoever is burning the mainstream charts. They will get the money instead. Well, that is the small lettering in that clear, straightforward, and transparent equation. So what is happening really? Well, this system separates the money spent from the product consumed. This system separates the money spent from the product consumed. consumed. You pay some money, you listen to these tracks, and most of the money goes to other tracks. Easier to tell, if you happen to be a fan of an alternative genre or artist that is not in the top 10, or at least in the mainstream of current releases, even if you pay your subscription to listen to those artists only, most of the money paid by you go to the mainstream artists you didn't listen at all. Another example, imagine your favorite artist is sick and cannot perform live anymore, or he needs a surgery but has not enough money to fund it. People around him decide to play only his music for a month to gather some money to him. Even if he is a famous artist, most likely the money spent listening to gather funds will inevitably go to the artist with most streams in that period. Your artist will only get just a microscopic share of it. This system is also inconvenient as it allows the existence of a cheating system of fake or robot accounts. Wait, I'm not saying this exists, but if I was that mainstream artist or label, I would do whatever in my power to have a farm of cell phones and computers with streaming subscriptions accounts in all platforms with automated software robots playing an artificial number of songs to bend the money curve towards my songs or catalog. The consequences of this system analysis fit perfectly with what is happening today. Smaller and the so-called catalog or classic acts are getting less money every day for thousands or hundreds of thousands of plays from users who only play the music. There would also be subtler and more abstract consequences if we get to a point where only those who can afford it will see their songs published and released. But that is something other minds need to analyze. We have to go on anyway because there are more side effects on this way of distributing royalties. The idea of splitting the calculations of royalties per country seems to be affecting global artists out of the mainstream too. Let's take, for example, Iron Maiden, an icon of metal, staple food for the metal souls. They are heard by metalheads all over the world for many years. According to Spotify, they have more than 5 million listeners a month. But if we take Silvestre Dangond, a Colombian artist with more than 2 million listeners a month, less than half of what Maiden has, it is way possible that Silvestre gets at least 5 times what Iron Maiden gets in money because Silvestre's following is concentrated in Colombia, Mexico, and Peru. So artists with fewer plays will get way more money if they concentrate their plays within fewer territories. That's a total nonsense. Not only that, it is unfair. I don't want to say it's illegal because nobody's suing anybody and nobody's calling the police, but once again, separating the money spent by an individual user from the product they consume is simply illogical. It is strange and suspicious and unnatural. Yes, we cheat nature to have sex without having kids, but I don't think anybody with a teardrop of a brain would accept cheating commerce fundamentals to give his money to some other artist you are not listening to. So, beyond numbers, this system underpays every single artist, genre, and label out of the worldwide pop charts, just because the system separates what people pay from what people listen to. Now, what would major labels lose if they change to user-centric payments? Yes, that's the term. Have it in mind. They would lose nothing. Most of the money after streamers cut their piece goes to those two major labels, Sony and Universal, who distribute everybody else, and those not with them will be served by the aggregators. The only difference is this time they will pay money to songs according exactly to what each user listened. If I listened to Epica the whole month, well, the money paid in that month goes to Epica's music rights representatives. Then if I want to hear Pink Floyd all the time, all the money spent will go to Pink Floyd's music rights representative. I don't want my subscriptions money going to Luis Fonsi's Despacito. Allow me the right to ignore who the hell Harry Styles is. I know who Ed Sheeran is, but I don't listen to him. Why would these people get my money if I didn't listen to them at all? Of course, this brings one big change. Mainstream labels will have to cost their mainstream artists marketing campaigns strictly with their own money. That one coming from subscribers who really heard those mainstream tracks this time. Still, major labels and aggregators will receive all the money and will keep most of it. But once again, only this time, this will send royalties according to what each user had listened. If we dig a little more, it is only the smaller artists who are paying around $40 to be hosted who would have a better opportunity to recover their investment. Smaller artists and labels have to pay to be hosted, but they are right now so unlikely profitable that aggregators promise them 100% of the royalties coming in if they come in. Imagine for a second what could happen if each new band convinces their fans to listen to them in a certain way to make them recover their investment. That is powerful and fair. And you know what? It is organic too, if you know what I mean. And once again, this won't be in the way of the total money major labels get. The aggregator's case will see a new opportunity, as many artists will gamble into trying to recover their yearly payments by going with them instead of pushing to be signed by majors. Some equilibrium will come. Once again, streaming is the best thing that has happened to music when the material collector is out of the equation. Still, collectors will want to go out with their music without their purchased product with them. The worst thing is precisely the way royalties are calculated today. Still, there is something else I haven't told you. That is the main reason I decided to finally do this video I had postponed for years is because recently I read something I never thought I could see in my life. On September 11th, 2019, at Music Ali's website, the headline reads, Deezer, remember the French streamer I mentioned to you before, steps up its effort to introduce user-centric payment. Below that improbable but incredible headline, we can read, if it can persuade labels to back the idea. I didn't know about it. They even have a hashtag, Make Streaming Fair. And this is something that cannot be taken for granted. But guess what? The hashtag is now long forgotten forever, apparently, because this is news within the industry. The people doesn't have access to that. So unless this is a public statement to pass the blame of the situation to major record labels, this initiative is something priceless. Because it comes from a streamer, from an insider. They know, they have calculated the impossible damage the system is doing to the 95% of the artists in their host paying for years. Now, the only thing needed is that the rest of the actors, you, the musicians, the managers, the independent record labels, and everybody part of the slice of the royalties from streaming income to ask for this change. Remember the name, user-centered payments. Now you know what is happening. Now you know within the streaming community, within the business itself, they are sensing the impact of the imminent public embarrassment of what is happening. The only thing that is left is the pressure and the indignation of the people. Not only artists, there are people out there caring about their favorite independent artists, about the music, about an environment of equality and fair conditions for everybody, of an honest music world in general. You know the name now, user-centered payment. Ask for it to your label, to your streamer, fight for it, use the goddamn tag, make streaming fair. This will sound cheesy, but this time it is true. If this change is not applied soon, we will end up listening to Despacito until Suavecito is released next year. This is Carlos Oñoro, your friend in Colombia. Happy 2020, and remember that together we can make royalties great again.
Wow, how things can change from one week to the next. Hey, hope everybody out there is staying healthy. I know everything is super crazy. We feel disoriented by the COVID-19 virus. It's more important than ever to stay connected and check in with your loved ones. That's why I'm so happy I've got T-Mobile. Listen, T-Mobile isn't just talking the talk. They're taking measures right now to make life easier for everyone by doing the right thing for their customers during this really critical time. For example, T-Mobile has ensured all current customers with data plans have access to unlimited smartphone data on their network for 2 months. We're all in this together. T-Mobile truly believes that. And while many T-Mobile stores are temporarily closed to help keep customers and employees healthy, they've still got you covered with any help you need. Just check out T-Mobile.com. You can see what stores are still open and how you can manage your account online. Stay safe out there. During congestion, customers using more than 50 gigs a month may notice reduced speeds prioritization, video typically at 480p, capable device required. Wow, how things can change from one week to the next. Hey, hope everybody out there is staying healthy. I know everything is super crazy. We feel disoriented by the COVID-19 virus. It's more important than ever to stay connected and check in with your loved ones. That's why I'm so happy I've got T-Mobile. Listen, T-Mobile isn't just talking the talk. They're taking measures right now to make life easier for everyone by doing the right thing for their customers during this really critical time. For example, T-Mobile has ensured all current customers with data plans have access to unlimited smartphone data on their network for 2 months. We're all in this together. T-Mobile truly believes that. And while many T-Mobile stores are temporarily closed to help keep customers and employees healthy, they've still got you covered with any help you need. Just check out T-Mobile.com. You can see what stores are still open and how you can manage your account online. Stay safe out there. During congestion, customers using more than 50 gigs a month may notice reduced speeds prioritization, video typically at 480p, capable device required.